Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. We are live. Welcome to the Sports Detention Football Show. Like a jealous ex-girlfriend, you can't keep us down. You can't keep us away. We're back after a bit of a sabbatical, so to speak. But here I am with my illustrious co-hosts, Potty and Cozzy. No Berta.
And any truth to the rumour, do you think, Coz, that Berta's out because Liverpool's lost the lead in the Premier League title race?
Yeah, well, that could quite be possible. I was chatting to him. He seemed very nervous. He seemed a little bit down, a little bit blue. We checked on him. He's a mate. You check on your mates, don't you, boys, you know? So that could quite possibly be the case.
I heard he was red and blue.
Red and blue?
Yeah, thrombosed hemorrhoids.
Wow.
That's what I heard. But I don't know.
You get all the news, don't
we
you?
We do care to speculate here.
I don't know if the listeners have noticed, but I generally consult with medical professionals when I'm finding out too, don't I? Nothing's a secret. Fellas, it's been a couple of weeks. There's been a lot going on in the world of football. The stories roll out week in, week out. We've missed a lot of content, but we'll sure as give it a shake to catch up today.
Oh, nothing's really been happening, has it?
We're soon going to find out. What's caught my eye? I've got something in there, guys, and this is obviously a big talking point around the football world this weekend, especially. What is a penalty? What is a penalty? Like, just, you know, not only the Champions League, but also to look, I, as a United fan, have seen my team give away 3 penalties in the last 8 days, which, on face value, was very poor defending. But, you know, in terms of football and, you know, spirit of the game, let's take an English cricket view of it. Spirit of the game.
Those wankers.
Oh, mate. Unbelievable. What do we think on the penalty? Is it getting to a point now where there's just so many penalties that we need to give, you know, referees the ability and the power to actually use a bit more discretion in the penalty? Or are you guys happy with black and white as it is?
Always the black and white. I mean, we've had discussions and you brought up the Champions League penalty and the similarities between that one and the one in the Liverpool-Manchester United game on the weekend, where the reliance on an attacking player moving towards and...
Well, the players are playing for the penalty.
Creating the penalty, and there's a whole discussion around that. So is it black and white? It'll never be black and white. I think we've brought it up. The listeners know we've talked about it. But it is at a point like does a penalty in the Champions League mean the same thing as it does in the Premier League?
Well, that's a good point as well, because there's, you know, obviously they're refereed different. Everyone knows that, you know, European ties.
The continental refs.
Yeah, absolutely. Which you can understand, because there's different styles of football in each league. And when you're drafting the referees from across Europe, you're going to have those, you know, interpretation differences. But, you know, it can be frustrating if you're on the, you know, the team that seems to be being hard done by when
Is it a global problem? I think back to a conversation we had on our Monday show, Grego, and we were slashing into the refs as well in a different sport. I mean, are we seeing refereeing problems across all codes, across all sports at the moment?
I think, you know, if I was to summarise it, I would suggest that it is a black and white ruling problem. You know, sport is a grey game. You know, all games are grey. You know, you've only got to look at, you know, a realm of documentaries. When we look at, you know, the basketball documentaries of the NBA, where they speak about and referees have come out and said how the league dictates how they adjudicate games. You know, there's something more to it. We see it in the NRL and rugby league, where referees will have crackdowns, which then determine how, you know, the game is adjudicated, which, you know, and then on the flip side with VAR, we've seen in football, a lot of these issues are deemed black and white. Is there contact? Is there not contact? And if there is contact and a referee has blown a penalty, regardless of what VAR thinks, you just can't overturn it.
Would just allowing the referees more discretion, would that solve this problem?
That's my suggestion. My suggestion is, and we saw it in, and it was utilised on Tuesday night, Europe time, in the Arsenal Bayern game. Bukayo Saka has played for that penalty. He's thrown his leg out. He's almost shin-checked the goalkeeper. Yeah, the goalkeeper's closing down, and there'd be questions on the goalkeeper's movement. He's obviously misread his ability to sweep up. But Saka then goes, well, you know what? It's almost like what I'm more likely to be rewarded for is the penalty rather than continuing to play football. And that's a bit of an issue there, because the same with Harvey Elliott. They check the ball and make a good footwork move to move away from the defender, which opens up the shot.
Mm.
But they're not taking the shot. They're sliding and dragging and playing for a foul.
And you're talking about a split-second decision that they're making not to try and score a goal.
They're going nowhere.
They're trying to get awarded a penalty.
Yeah, they're playing the player, that's a conscious decision, not the football.
Yeah.
So my question that I would put out there, is there the ability for VAR, who has video, who has different angles, who has the ability to, you know, you don't have to be sports scientist to understand what human movement looks like when it comes to playing. You know, we can do it for, is the arm away from the body in unnatural position in terms of handball? Why can't we do it in terms of the player milks it? They drag the leg, they put the leg in a position for contact. Then you're looking at it, rather than being a penalty, you're actually looking at it as the attacker has engaged contact on the defender. It's a free kick to the defender.
I think they do that nowadays, though. I think, you know, I'd
love to. Do they do it enough, though?
I'd love to see the statistics on, was a penalty awarded by the on-field referee, then checked by VAR and come back and disallowed? Was the, or vice versa? Was it not awarded by the referee and then VAR came in and awarded it? I'd love to see those statistics. We don't have those.
Mm.
You know, maybe one of the listeners can send them through. But that would be an interesting point.
Send them through.
Yeah, that would be an interesting point, because how many penalties are referees awarding on the field versus how many are awarded in the box?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, and I do think, and we talked about when, if the listeners saw the Champions League game, the Saka penalty call was made with seconds on the clock to go.
Yeah.
And if that decision, if that had occurred with 10 minutes to go or half an hour to go, would there have been more made of that in the box in VAR, or is it just easy to go full time?
Let's talk further into that though, Cozzy. Mm. Then there's the comment from the referee around Gabriel's handball, which you're just not having it. Have you heard that one?
No. So you'll have to update me.
David Raya puts the ball on the edge of the six-yard box.
Yep.
The referee blows the whistle. He plays it out to Gabriel. Gabriel picks the ball up and then goes to put it down to take the goal kick. Now, fair enough, it is what it is. That's just that's a under-sixes penalty, that.
Yeah.
But the referee actually said that to the Bayern players.
Yeah, that was
his wording, wasn't it? His wording was, I'm not going to give a children's penalty in a Champions League quarterfinal. And, you know, Tommy Tuchel's well within his rights to go, that's not how this works. Yeah.
But was he just giving him the ball? You know, he's a soccer player. That's how they pass the ball to each other. You take the kick, you know.
So,
but
if
the whistle blown.
The whistle had blown.
You
can see the footage. The whistle had blown. He'd blown it as Raya played the ball.
Were you happy with that decision, not giving an under six penalty? What did you think, Gregor?
I'm not happy with the explanation.
Yeah.
If you are a referee and you find yourself in that pickle, you shut your trap.
And that was the
point. Don't say anything. You just go, no penalty, moving on.
Yeah.
And, you know, by actually engaging in that conversation, saying to the guys, oh, I'm not going to give under six, well, that's not how the rules of the game work.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and that was the point of the, what's his name? The manager.
Tuchel, So that was the point of his. So, and then again, Cozzy, we can go back to your point earlier. Has that then contributed to the discussion around the penalty later on? Did the referee go, I probably balls that one up earlier. I don't want to.
He seemed right pretty firm in his decision. I don't know that he was too stressed about it.
Well, and the fact it's got nothing to do with United means I'm not too stressed about it either anymore.
Because he was happy with it.
All right, Potty, headline of the week, mate. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of it. What do we got?
Mate, I'm going to have to get you boys to hold me up this week. I am in all sorts of bother. So I wrote this headline.
Talk to me.
I wrote this headline a couple of weeks ago. Nottingham Forest, they've been docked 4 points, punishment handed down, left with more questions than answers.
Stern but fair.
Stern but fair. And so here I am, chipper on the weekend. Everton picks up their first win since before Christmas. And so I'm...
They're on a run.
So they're on a bit of a run. Dominic Calvin-Lewin back in goal scoring form. Yeah. 2 games, 2 goals. Another 2 points deduction for
Did
Everton.
He not get the ball kicked off him into the goal, though?
I was going to say that. He's going to claim it. Down as an assist, not a goal.
No, I'm taking that as a goal.
Well, I'm sure Dominic Calvert-Lewin
He is taking it. He said it. I'm taking that as a goal.
Yeah. Even the penalty he scored the week before, if you caught that, he was lucky to have got that one as well.
He has dead set forgotten out of school goals over the last 3 months. He dead set couldn't kick a dog in the arse. And he's finally put a couple in the back of the net. And they're the luckiest things you've ever seen. But anyway, he'll take those wins. But, yeah, Everton another 2 points down over the weekend. Mm. So that's another kick in the guts. Mm. They're calling it double jeopardy. Now, I'm not talking about an Ashley Judd, Tommy Lee Jones sequel.
Well, as a legal studies professional, mate, talk to the listeners about double jeopardy. Yeah,
we can't get charged with the same crime twice, essentially. So double jeopardy, essentially, because – and you'll probably be able to, if I'm getting this wrong, but essentially because they're in a new year, they've been – Is that right? They've been charged...
Well, they're looking at the season. So they're having the same points deduction in the same season.
They're in the same season, but they're across a different three-year period.
Yeah. But in saying that too, am I not wrong in suggesting that there is another charge on the way as well, that they're actually delaying and they're saying, look, that has to be next season?
Yeah, so are they, is this just the lowest... Is this just, like... Honestly,
it gets better.
Is this just death by a thousand cuts?
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's becoming the joke of the international world, really.
Let's be fair. Is the Everton situation becoming a joke, or is the one that is the elephant in the room, is that continuing to be the joke?
Ah, the blue one.
The other blue one. Is that not continuing to be the joke?
Yeah, well, as I said, I haven't got to that yet because I'm going to need you boys to pick me up. It just feels like every time. And, yeah, Greg, you know, mate, I was in the dumps about Parramatta the other day. Oh. I've walked in with War and Peace ready to talk about the show, in my notes. But, yeah, so let's get on to Manchester City.
I mean, we could roll it into my first headline as well because I've got a couple. You know, take another two is my headline. The Premier League wants to see Everton relegated. I mean, that's not kicking a bloke while he's down. But in saying that, while Manchester City...
Not here. Imagine him getting into me now.
While Manchester City talk multiple trebles with 115 hanging over their head. Like, what are we talking about? Look, I went through my library on Netflix the other day and they had that bloody new documentary for Manchester City come up, like the treble or whatever.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, my wife saw it. And look, I'm telling you, listeners, I do not miss a documentary on Netflix when it comes to sport. No. I ain't missing. You know what? I looked at that and I went, you know what? Fuck it. I'll wait for the sequel. I'll wait for the sequel the 115 gets rolled out, eh? That's what I'm going to do.
What do they call it, Gregor?
I think they call it exactly that.
Fucking shit. That's what they call it. Cheating pricks.
Cheating behind the blue curtain.
Pep tarnished.
But sir, what sort of points deduction are they going to be looking at? We've been into this before. We've been into scripting
titles. It makes you think, though. Yeah. I mean, they're different. The argument, again, is about the fact that the swift nature in which Everton's being dealt with is because of transparency. They're obviously just going, yep.
Well, apparently they weren't frigging transparent, and that's why they got 10 points in the first place.
Well, that was thrown out on a pearl because they pulled...
But it's still stung, mate. It's still stung.
Absolutely. I can imagine. I can imagine. All right. Well, look, we'll tie a bow in that because, we could chew up the whole podcast with talking about man, did I say shitty? Yeah. Okay, anyway. Man-cheaty. Rightio. My second headline, guys. Arsenal better not fuck this up. Look, I am relying on Arsenal. Like, I mean...
Again.
seriously, if City or Liverpool win a title this year, I've got hope because the Gunners just seem to be chalking away wins. They seem to be getting it done.
Mm.
And, I mean, yeah.
So you went
through... It's more hope than bloody anything.
Cozzy, just before I throw it to you, you went through a golden patch a month or so back where you were just scoring goals for fun, where you were putting teams away. And that's held you in good stead now. Your goal differential is very good. So what are you thinking leading in this last six... Is it six games?
Yeah, I think there's about eight. Might be eight games to go. I really think this is a really strange statement to make, but sitting top of the table, they're flying under the radar because everyone expects them to fall over and they look at the draw and they go, they've got tough games, and they do have tough games. They've probably got the toughest games left of the three.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they went to City, who have not scored a goal at home in 50 games or something like that, and they kept them scoreless. They kept them, you know, kept Haaland under wraps. They did this. They, you know, had the draw or whatever it was. And people are going, oh, they've dropped points, you know. But have they dropped points or have they just kept a very good team with a very good record under wraps and they're doing the job? You know what I mean? So I think they're flying under the radar.
Look, the big question for a neutral would be, is it going to be the Arsenal we expect? Or is it time that they're going to step up? And that's, you know, where that's the big unknown.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I know what I want, or as a neutral.
Same.
But
I think if they keep playing the way they're playing, they win it. They win it. Somewhere along the line, they'll drop points, but I think the other two will as well.
Mm. So they're getting very close. This, like, people talk about last season, and we've spoken about it here a number of times. The drop had started by now, hadn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Yep.
Yeah. I think going back two games, I think I read something about that's when they played. I can't remember who it was, and it was a real big upset.
But Villa or West Ham, wasn't it? They were up 2-0 or something after about 11 minutes.
But let's be fair, Dinkum. This is a different Arsenal squad, and if you're going to give credit to Arsenal's recruitment, this is where they've made those signings in the past 12 months. Mm. So you bring Trossard in, you bring Havertz in, you bring Rice in. Rice, he's a starter. Every single match, he's a starter. He does that job. But the other two are your point of difference. When you need something different, you bring a Kai Havertz on. When you need someone to just pop up in the box and lash their laces through a bag of wind, you're looking for Leandro Trossard. So the difference they have this year is they have those players who can actually do that for them, as opposed to relying on the tried and trusted with Martinelli and Saka down the wings and Jesus in the guts.
Yeah, and we're sitting here in conversations about Arsenal not talking about Martinelli. You know, he's been out injured, he's been off, and Trossard started a few games and done really well. Offers that point of difference. You know, his assists as well, like not just scoring goals, he's scoring really crucial goals, but his assists as well.
Mm.
Just on the Kai Havertz thing, you said about him coming in or being a point of difference. Like, Kai Havertz scored more goals for Arsenal this year than he did in any Chelsea year in the Premier League. So he's in good goal-scoring form, and he sort of found a patch. And he
scored a really good one in Portugal one night. I really enjoyed that one. That was against Man City in the Champions League final.
Yeah,
that was brilliant.
Yeah, and the fact, like, you know, Arsenal did go through a period where they just couldn't score, you know, but they've built this season on defence, and they got their defence statistics are through the roof.
Mm.
And that's, you know, fingers crossed, but that's how you win titles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You win by travelling to Luton or travelling to wherever it is, scraping out a win out of, you know, not much. But just not letting teams score. And so hopefully we can still maintain that. The Champions League result in midweek against Bayern, you know, letting in two goals is a bit average, I think. Hopefully that's just a blip on the radar. But if we can keep maintaining the defence, I think the goals, one, two goals here and there, we don't need to win by four or five. I don't think anyone's winning by four or five at the moment, you know, consistently. So, fingers crossed.
Mate, I think the crossed, Arsenal, everything. The Arsenal defence, it's almost like they're playing with two goalkeepers. And I mean, according to the Champions League, they are.
Well, Cozzy, all will be found out over the next 2 months. I can hear the nerves in your voice.
How good is it, though? Like, you know, you go a couple of days, someone's on top of the table. The next couple of days, someone else is on top of the table. Like, it's just fluctuating.
Yeah, it's
a great run-in.
Yeah.
Great. Well, not good for the nerves. Can't even get close to Champions League football anyway. Yeah.
So that brings me to my headline of the week.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go with yours and then we'll go.
Three places at once. It can't be done. Or can it? So with the title race being so close, and this could, boys, realistically go down to deadline day. This could go down to the last day of the season.
Mm.
So traditionally, on that last day of the season, the winners would be presented the trophy. So now, if we go down and there's only 1 point or goal difference separating these teams, how are they going to do it?
Well, Arsenal have history in buying their own trophies. So, yeah, well, I mean, that won't be hard.
So I was going to get to that, right? So I looked into this because this came up. This interested me. The Premier League have two trophies. They have a trophy where that they keep in their headquarters, whatever, and they have another one where they goes to the club.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like the Mona Lisa, isn't it?
So you pinch my thunder
there. Oh, have I? Oh,
so give those two to the Aristotle Nuffies. Arsenal have got their own goal one. So they can take it to, I think it's Everton at home on the last day of the season. So
it is. I'm dead set hoping.
What a shit draw, though. The last match at Goodison. That is a flog of a last day.
Well.
Like, yeah, if you're chasing a title, that's not where you want to be. I remember, I think United played the last game of the Bowling.
Is it the last match at Goodison? Oh.
Well, it would be if it's the last game of the season. I mean, yous ain't going for any other trophies.
There might be post-season friendlies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, there might be.
No, I didn't think the stadium was open up at the beginning of next season.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just assuming that it was.
Oh, no, I don't think it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Well, tell the accounts department that.
So it can be done. Three places at once, it can be done. There you go.
Well.
And it's interesting. So, great segue, Potty. The excitement builds with new pictures released about the Everton Stadium. That's my headline of the week. So this is fair income. There's a lot of excitement because they're now...
So you're not taking the piss?
No, not yet.
Well, because they haven't got pillars in the way of people when they're sitting there watching the game.
They've released some of the photos from the stadium and a lot of people are saying, you know, how good it looks. It does look really, really good. It's really impressive. So apparently they've got 53,000 seats in the stadium. And there's a 13,000 seat stand. It's a very steep stand, and it's supposed to represent like Borussia Dortmund's yellow wall.
Oh, the yellow wall.
You heard of the yellow wall?
Oh yeah.
So in Everton, they're calling it the blue turnstile. So
isn't that their defence?
Yeah. So yeah, but it's getting a lot of great feedback. I've got some quotes here about, you know, people that have seen it. So here we go. It here says, we go. I can't wait to go. That's David from Plymouth. It looks like the seats are great to sit in. It's a great view. Grace from Birmingham. So these are Plymouth supporters and Birmingham supporters. It'll be a great road trip. Stephen Schmeider, Stoke manager.
This is a fucking stitch up. I like what you've done here.
The excitement in the first division is building for the new stadium.
Fuck a duck. Very good.
I was waiting for
that
it.
Was well
I
done.
Was ducking and weaving.
That was well done.
Yep, you nailed it.
Rightio, moving back to, I've got a couple of headlines, as I mentioned. John Murta, speaking of ex-Everton administrators, so the fellow who has slowly climbed the ladder at United under the Glazers, he came in, I think he came in as a fucking cleaner and he ended up the technical director. So John Murta, he's gone as of yesterday. So he's been asked, so he was the one who brought Erik ten Hag in, he was the director of football, who was the last big promotion that they gave before they've sold football operations off to Ineos. He's been moved on, so it looks like obviously Dan Ashworth is in, and then obviously the big move from Southampton with a new technical director coming in for United. So one small step for United, mate, but a giant leap towards making us great again, I must say. Get out the dead wood.
Okay, so I saw your headline there, and I saw Murtaugh. I thought it was Murtaugh off, what's the movie?
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon.
That's what I thought as well.
I thought he'd given
I'm too old for this shit.
Finally retired from police officer.
Oh, he might have. Well, he retired from being a decent administrator a long time ago, that's for sure. Okay, and final one. I couldn't help but seeing the in the news this week, and I thought it would just be interesting. Good little chat was Wes Brown. Do you remember Wes Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, he speaks out after his divorce and bankruptcy. So he's been taken to the cleaners. And we've spoken about divorce before on the Sports Detention podcast, where we talked about Ray Parler just getting absolutely reamed. And then, obviously, what's old mate from Hakimi? Hakimi from PSG, when he put everything in mum's name. So his missus got duck egg. So, anyway, we know that divorce can, it can hurt. Darling, I ain't going anywhere. I can't afford it. Wes Brown has gone bankrupt. But he was on 50K a week when he was playing in his playing day. So I thought I'd go through and just have a look at a few of the other players that have gone bankrupt. So Wes Brown, former Man United defender, and he was really underrated. Come on, Cozzy, you'd have to admit
that. He was pretty solid.
Yeah. Two-time Champions League winner, five-time Premier League winner, and two FA Cups. Then he went on to Sunderland, and I believe he finished at Blackburn. Another player who has gone bankrupt, Royston Drenthe. Do you remember Royston Drenthe? Played for Real Madrid, Dutch fullback. He was a member of the under-21 Euros winning team in 07 with Ryan Babel, so they had a fair few good players. I thought, what's his name, who played at Real Madrid, the striker? I thought he was in that squad too, but it doesn't turn out that he was. So he was in £3.2 million in debt, and, you know, that's obviously he played at Everton too, Potty. So Everton and Feyenoord were his two other clubs. Paul,
that's where he picked up his tips on bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's where he lost most of his money.
Paul Gascoigne.
Oh, yeah.
But of course. But of course. Yeah. Of course Gascoigne went bankrupt. Paul Merson. Gambling addiction. So saw the downfall of Paul, who was once considered actually breaking his own fingers so he couldn't ring his bookie. So... Asamoah Gyan, you remember Asamoah Gyan?
Can't say okay.
Played up front for Sunderland, Ghanaian striker, best known for his time at Sunderland, but he went broke after spending a few seasons taking home 225K a week in China. It always surprises me though, fellas, when a bloke who has earned that much money but has an image of himself on Instagram with a gold-plated Bentley goes broke. It really does. Ronaldinho, he's gone broke as well. Court reports in 2018 had Ronaldinho only having a Stewie Diver in his bank account. So he had $5 in his bank account. So it turns out his stint in the Paraguayan prison was a bit of an opportunity because there's plenty of jobs on offer there. another one, Brad Friedel. We've spoken about Brad previously. He blew his cash trying to build an academy in the States. So apparently they had to repossess his $235,000 home. That had me asking, where the fuck do you get a house for $235K? I want one.
Yeah.
Maradona, but of course, Italian authorities are apparently still looking for £42 million in unpaid taxes from Maradona.
Still now.
From the 1980s.
They keep ringing him and he doesn't answer his phone.
John Arnarisa, he fell victim to a £3 million fraud and that had him out of pocket. And the final one, a touch of home, Lucas Neal. Former Socceroos captain Lucas Neal was left bankrupt with poor investments and the 2008 financial crisis blowing up his fortune. So now he's still over in the UK but just living a very, very laid-back life. And he was actually in court again recently because he had assets that he just had no idea about. Because obviously football players don't manage their own money. They obviously have people who come in and sell the dreams. They I'll look after your money. I've got your back. This, that and the other. Agents and the like. And he had investments that were in his name that he owned, but he didn't declare them because he didn't know he had them. And then obviously Her Majesty's Customs and Revenue finds out that he's got these assets and they've almost thrown him in the clink because he hasn't declared them when they were going through it again. So bit of a nightmare. But, gee, when you look at what players take home on a weekly basis, it's crazy to think they end up in these knots though, doesn't it? You've got to surround yourself with good people. Otherwise, it can be catastrophic.
True, true.
Rightio, Potty, what are we up to, mate? We've got the fantasy report?
Or
match of the week? Or it's Uncle Trivia.
Drunk Uncle Trivia.
Oh, I forgot how this podcast worked.
It's been a while.
Rightio, so, drunk uncle trivia, Cos.
So this week's a little bit different.
You know,
so
we're going to actually do work.
We've just given it, had a little bit of time to think about it, and you want to entertain the listeners in different ways. So here we go. This week's going to require a little bit of thought on your side, boys. So I have the Football 365. It's a well-known British football website. They have ranked the worst signings of the season.
This season. Okay.
Ooh. Okay. So what I'm going to read out these players, and you need to number them 1 to 5. Okay. So who you think they are, who is the worst. So the criteria for this is, I've got no idea. So you're going to have to apply your own criteria here.
Yep.
So let's go. Berta's favourite player, Moses Caicedo. Where do you think Moses rates on that top 5 list? And then we're going to read, the boys are going to read out their list when we finish. Rob Holding, former Arsenal player.
Who'd he sign with?
He went to Crystal. That's one of the issues. He went across the London freeway to Crystal Palace.
Okay.
Calvin Phillips.
Oh, yeah.
Left Manchester City.
Is that West Ham?
Yeah. And is that West Ham?
He was notoriously fat-shamed by Pep Guardiola.
Matthew Nunes left Wolverhampton Wanderers and went to Manchester City.
Mateus?
Yeah. Haven't got my glasses on again. And last but not least, Sandro Tonali.
Oh.
So Sandro, of course, is at Newcastle.
That's thrown a bloody spanner in the works.
So,
because are we talking value this season?
This
because,
season's yeah, worst.
That's actually
signings. Okay. So what we'll do, we'll go through, Potty, your list. Who did you have?
Number 1, Calvin Phillips. 2, Moses. 3, Rob Holding. 4, Mateus. And 5, Sandro Tonali.
Okay.
Rightio. I'm going to go for 1 Moses, purely on price tag. 2 Calvin Phillips. I'm going to switch Rob Holding around with Tonali. Tonali at 3, Holding at 5. Mateus Nunes at 4.
Okay, so let me just...
We all got them wrong. We were nowhere near, were we?
I'll throw this into you. So I'll tell you how much they cost if you didn't know. So Tonali, $52
million. Yeah.
Calvin Phillips is on loan.
Yeah.
Matthew Nunes and Mateus Nunes, $53 million. Moses, of course, 100, and Rob, 3.5.
Yeah.
Does that change your list, boys?
Well, I changed it already because, yep.
Okay.
In response to it.
So give yourself a tick if you get this right. Top of the list, Sandro Tonali, $52 million and yet to play a game.
No, yeah, I had him 5.
I had him at 3. I moved him up to 3 and moved Holding down to 5.
Number 2, Calvin Phillips.
Oh, no. Nah. Well,
Grego got that.
Number 3 is Nunes.
Ooh, you get that?
No. And 4, Caicedo.
That's a fucking joke.
And Holding at number 5.
Big goose egg.
I got Holding.
Oh, so Berta wins this week. Sorry, Grego wins his
week. Well done, Berta.
I'm missing my little mate. Well, he's just done, not Berta. Here. 2 points. 2-0.
Mate, well, that go. Was...
well done, Cozzy. That was
a good one, yeah. I think I fell into the trap, you know, where we do the top 5 and you just got to roll with it once you plonked it. And I fell into the trap there of tying yourself in knots. But
I have stitched up with one of those before.
Good to be able to correct it.
Yeah. So, and the exciting news about this quiz this week, of course, boys, is I've got something to share with you. The quiz has got a sponsor.
So
This is how big we're going up in the world. So the quiz now has a sponsor each week. So I've got to read out the sponsor's blurb here. So this week's quiz is sponsored by Brashers. So get into your local Brashers store. They've got the top 10 CDs for $12 at the moment. You can buy cassette tapes as well, and they've got the latest VHS video cameras as well.
Brashers.
So get into your local Brashers store.
What's number 1 on the hits at the moment?
Number one. That would be Michael Jackson, Black and White.
Black and White, yeah.
We've got The Best of the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The Doors' Greatest Hits.
Yes, yes.
Madonna's up there, Katie Lang. So, they've got all the current ones, boys. Well, listeners,
you've taken me back.
Brashers.
All right.
Katie Lang.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Rightio, mate. Match of the round. What do we got, Coz? What's your match of the round for this week?
Oh, Battle of the Blue Battlers. So I've got the Everton-Chelsea game. So this has got ramifications all over the table, but it'll be an interesting game just for the football, I think. So the results aside, I think, you know, this could go either way. We could see Everton out, you know, out by 2-3 goals against a really poor Chelsea defence. We could see the vice versa, Chelsea up by 3-4 goals against an Everton defence, and then we could see a 4-4 draw. Like, it's got so many... I think it's got goals in it this game.
So I've got a similar tact where I've gone Newcastle-Tottenham because I think there'll be goals in that.
Mm. Yeah, I jumped on Toffees versus Chelsea as well. Toffees played Chelsea not immediately after, but very soon after their last point deduction. And they gave them a good old spanking. So I'm hoping to see the same again. And, you know, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I mean, he's in goal-scoring form.
He's red hot.
Mm.
Very good. Rightio, fantasy boys, what do we got? I mean, it's been rough. Mm. I mean, all season for me, so I'll leave it to you guys to start this one.
Let's get wild.
Oh, hello. Ooh.
But when? Ooh. That's the big question. We're getting the business end of the year now.
Sounds indecisive, mate.
There's a few chips which are floating about, and it sounds like almost like there's a couple of people fighting it out for the top spot here, and you don't want to give away hints.
Mm. Mm. Well, actually, am I right in saying that I got the top score this weekend?
I've got to say, I didn't look that far down the ladder, did you, Cozzy?
No.
Have a look. Right? You might be surprised.
I'd say if you were trying to tell us to go and have a look, that would be correct.
Yeah, but I could be wrong.
Are you suggesting...
I have been known to get a bit excited when it wasn't warranted.
You're not the top.
Second. Yeah, Woodsy was top. Yeah?
So the answer to the question is no.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you suggesting you got your team just cherry ripe for the...
No, I'm just suggesting you guys were all fucked.
Yeah, he's been playing for cup season for 16 weeks.
Mate, I've been playing for something. Is Cole going to continue to fire is my question rather than tip of the week. Cole Palmer has been on fire recently. He's been knocking them in. Now, does it continue or should I start to look at, hey, there might be a bit of a handbrake here? Can I look to transfer him out?
Well, I captained him last week and he'd had his worst week in about 4 weeks, so...
Okay.
Yeah. He was getting ridiculous, man.
I think there's
more. Did he score a couple against United a few weeks ago?
I think he knocked in three, was it?
No, I don't think so. I stopped watching after 93 minutes, so I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gregor? No?
No comment.
Fucking latest winner in Premier League history. Fucking under sixes shit.
Got to defend that area, don't you?
Yeah, no. What we will do, we will let Chelsea's best attacker just have open space on the end of the box. Why don't we do that?
Oh, you did your best, mate.
And everyone point at him. Did you see the photo of all the defenders pointing at him? Who's got him? Like, he'll be all right.
Yeah, I think we did see it because you posted it on the group feed.
Yeah.
What do you got, Coz?
I've got two. My tip for this week is Red Said Fred. So if it's red, it's great. You know, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man United, jump on board. If you can get those players into your team, I think this week and next week they've got some good fixtures. So get as many red players into your team as possible. And I just wanted to bring up this point about round 29. I know we haven't been on air for a couple of weeks. The listeners and our fantasy punters out there will... know what I'm talking about. It's round 29 was the double game week round. So there was FA Cup, I believe, on. So there was a few teams that had more than one game to catch up.
I remember that round.
The most captained round in fantasy Premier League history was that round 29.
Mm.
You know what else it was, boys?
What?
It was the lowest average game week score week.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of punters out there that had their free hit chip that week to get players in.
Not everyone, though, Cozzy.
Not everyone.
You don't think I noticed?
Yeah. So the most amount of free hit chips, free hit chips in Premier League history, and the lowest average score in Premier League history, Fantasy Premier League.
But
so
it was also the double game week where Pep Guardiola decided to fucking not play. Yeah. Two players who would have taken up roughly 70% of the captaincy in the whole of Fantasy Premier League.
Yep.
I mean, one of them, has been labelled a League Two striker. I mean, Roy Keane's finally catching up with the true great minds of the game like myself, who called this 2 years ago. But anyway.
So do you know how many points it was, boys, that average that week?
I reckon it probably would have been, I'm going to go real low, 14.
Lower.
Lower?
Really?
12. The previous lowest was 19.
Mm.
So there you go.
It was a bloodbath.
That's
it
my
was.
Average every week, though. All rightio. Rightio, guys. Who am I?
Who am I?
Bus wankers!
Who am I?
You are one pathetic loser.
Who am I?
The fuck is that guy?
Who am I?
Rightio, Potty, who am I? What do we got, mates?
Rightio, boys, I've gone something a little bit different this week. I read an article the other day, popped up in my notifications. The Premier League have revealed a shortlist of 15 former players who are eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2024. Mm. So they're eligible. And I just thought I'd chuck a couple of names out there, names that I know you'll know very well, and see what you think. Are they Hall of Fame worthy? Now, Cozzy, Grego, you've both got an absolute wealth of knowledge on the Premier League and their history, so I'm interested to see what you say. Cozzy, going to you first, mate. Sol Campbell.
So do I think
Hall of Fame worthy?
Hall of Fame worthy. Jeez, this is a big... How many did you say were on the list?
15. 15 have been made eligible.
Wow. Sol Campbell was very good. He was part of the Invincibles. Mm. Boys, if you haven't heard of the Arsenal Invincibles,
yep, heard of them.
Gold trophy and et cetera, et cetera. Never lost a game in the season, the Premier League.
Yeah, yeah.
12 goals.
Who beat him eventually? Oh, never mind.
Who cares?
We did talk about penalties earlier, but fucking 49 and out. Oh, crumbs. Rooney.
I walked into that, didn't I? He's a very good
over
player.
By a ghost.
He did well at different clubs in the Premier League. I think that helps him. Mm-hmm. Like, he did well in Arsenal. Obviously, he did well at Tottenham.
Yeah, people forget that. He was an absolute scumbag. He went across the North London divide.
Yes.
Mm.
There's only a few players that have done that and been successful. And he also...
Tottenham fans would beg to differ.
He was also at Portsmouth as well,
he won an FA Cup
carried that team to stay in the Premier League and, as you said, win the
And he's
FA
cut
Cup.
His teeth in management recently, hasn't he?
He did, yeah. He's where is he managing now?
Was he at Northampton? Or maybe, dunno. Anyway, we'll look that one up.
So
South End, Macclesfield?
Yes or no, Cozzy?
No.
No.
No. I'm a let everyone in the Hall of Fame sort of guy. Mm. Like, I think they almost try to make it. Like, you even look at the initial induction and some of the players they knock back. I'm like, well, that's not fair. You know, so I'm a bit soft on this sort of shit. I would say I might...
One in, all in.
Yeah, I'd almost flip it over and go, what are the reasons for Sol Campbell being in the Hall of Fame? And I would say what's working for him is the fact that he was a part of a great time in Arsenal's history. Like, you know, everybody, you know, gets stiffies over City versus Liverpool in recent years, but nothing will even come close to comparing to United Arsenal's in the late 90s, early 2000s in terms of a rivalry. There was nothing like it, and he was front and centre of that. So I think that works in his favour. However, what doesn't work in his favour is possibly... put him in.
Fuck all right, so we've got him.
I can't even... No, I'm not going to talk shit. Other than the fact that he left Tottenham, which was...
Smartest decision he's ever made.
Harsh. You've got to question 13th, character.
13th on the total Premier League appearances. Wow. List, so
that's one yes and one no. Okay, what about Robbie Fowler? North Queensland Fury, great, absolute legend. Would you have him in the Hall of Fame and would you like to go to the celebratory party if he got in?
Well, I mean, greatest celebration in Premier League history if you ask me. However, Liverpool scumbag. Can't get past
so
that.
So, no.
Look, again, is Robbie Fowler a Premier League legend? Hall of Famer? Yes, he is. But what was working against him is the fact that he never won a Premier League. Mm. So you could say, well, never won a Premier League. But then you can go, well, Alan Shearer, one of the initial inductees, never won a Premier League. So, you know, that sort of kiboshes that argument. You know, who's the others in the list, Pod? So have you got
if
it?
You, no, I don't have it on.
You haven't got
moment.
The other list?
So
let's find out.
If you do...
Yeah, put him in. Put Fowler in. Who cares?
Yeah. If you were going to discount people on that criteria, the fact they hadn't won a...
That's
Premier
it. That's
League
it. You tie yourself in knots when you start putting those sorts of... Because, you know, you look at players who are... Like Mark Noble. Like, yeah, he's a West Ham legend, but he's a Premier League legend. For the club that he played in and for what he achieved with that club, he is a Hall of Famer. You can look at someone like Kevin Nolan as well. You know, for the clubs that he played for, Bolton, Newcastle, went to West Ham, you know, you could say that those players were Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting sort of conversation about how do you come up with a criteria?
That's exactly right.
That's so what you're talking about.
If you're going off success, because you're basically going to be limiting yourselves to players from six clubs.
Yeah, that's right. And as you said, you know, the players that can stave off relegation and be the focus. Matthew Letizia is a perfect example of that.
He's a bit on the nose at the moment because he seems to just talk and people don't like what he says. Bit of a conspiracy theorist.
A bit the same as Berta.
Yeah. So probably. I like it. I think I love it.
Yeah, but yeah, he's one that, you know, he carried that club and he was magical.
But never left Southampton.
Yeah, that's right. And as for titles and things like that, you know, it wasn't up there, but I would nearly put him in there.
Would you have Robbie Fowler in?
No.
No.
So, and I think it's obviously, I think it's just personality on this is where Cozzy and I are going to differentiate. So well, let's have a look at the inductees that we've had so far so that we might be able to compare with it. So Ian Wright, I think you're comparing, he won titles, but you're comparing an Ian Wright with a Robbie Fowler in terms of goal scoring exploits and club status. Petr Cech, another one.
See, Robbie Fowler, just looking at his statistics here now, Liverpool, 236 games, he only scored 120 goals. So you're talking, that's nearly 10 seasons and 120 goals. That's not a massive return. 12 goals a year is not a huge amount.
No, that's true, but he did spend some time at Man City when that was pre-money.
Yeah, so, 80, yeah. 80 and 21.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the goal return.
Yeah. I don't know. I think when you're talking about, and remembering the Premier League, we're talking about a Premier League Hall of Fame. So it's not like the Premier League that goes all the way back to the Football League. So you've really got it. You're saying, rightio, this is the 30-year block that we're working with. You know, who's in that? And I think you can be a little less stingy with your Hall of Fame spots. And, you know, like I said, I'd like to see those players who, you know, might have been at, you know, journey clubs or they might have ended up journeymen themselves due to relegation, this, that and the other, but had always turned up for the club that they were at and performed, like, you know, I mentioned before. But anyway,
interesting.
All good. Rightio, mate. We've got a bit of sign and decline here, mate. Now I'm going to put it to you, and I would have liked to have had Berta on this, but the problem is he wouldn't have researched anything either. So it probably would have gone down like a lead balloon. Rightio. So, Cozzy, we're going to go through. It's going to be a start one, bench one, cut one. And I'm going to give you some categories that you're going to throw into your your team. You're starting a new Premier League team because I don't want you to feel passionate about Arsenal when we go through this one. I want you to just separate yourself. This is going into your team. Rightio. So first category is retirees. You've got to start one, bench one, and cut one. Messi, Benzema, Ronaldo.
And are we talking right here, right now?
Right here, right now.
Or are we talking...
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now. Start, bench...
Cut.
Cut. I would start Benzema.
Yep.
I would... I was going to say I'd bench Messi. Yeah, I would bench Messi.
Yep.
And I'd cut Ronaldo. So
I'm going with you on that one. So what's your thought beyond that?
I think form Benzema at the moment is doing a job.
Yep.
And you know, would walk into any team, which
yep.
Messi, the ability to come off the bench and impact a game.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm thinking if you're going to bring a player off the bench to impact a game, you're going to want Messi over Ronaldo.
Yeah.
So Ronaldo gets cut.
And shirt sales. That kept me in there.
I think they both do all right. Front line, mate. Rightio. Start one, bench one, cut one. Mbappe, Haaland and Vinicius. Remember, this is just for your team.
Yes.
So they're not competing with your own players of your beloved Arsenal.
Correct. Start one, bench one, cut one. Mbappe, Haaland, Vinicius. I would cut Haaland. Okay, he's gone. I would start Mbappe and I would have Vinicius on the bench.
Mate, did we just become best friends? That's exactly what I would do. And it's purely because I think you've got to either start Haaland or Mbappe.
Yeah.
You're not bringing Haaland off the bench.
No.
He's a starter. So it's which one of those two are you starting? And then obviously, again, in terms of versatility, Vinicius is going to come off the bench and do a job for you.
Absolutely.
Rightio, the final one. And this one requires a little bit of research. Okay, young guns. Now you're starting one, you're benching one, you're cutting two.
Okay. There's two I've never heard of.
The first one we've got is Arda Güler at Real Madrid. I was going to go with Bellingham, but that would be too easy.
Yep.
Second one, Kobbie Mainoo at United.
Never heard of him.
Third one, Endrick. So Endrick, who's a recent signing for Real Madrid from Palmeiras. And the final one is Juventus wonder kid, Keenan Yildiz, who is, I believe he may possibly play for the German national team in the future. He's a German-born prospect.
Okay.
So, Güler, Mainoo, Endrick, and Yildiz. So Güler's going to play attacking midfield. He's going to be up front. Mainoo's going to hold. Endrick is an attacker, Brazilian flair, and Yildiz is another attacking midfielder.
So, full disclosure, the Güler and Yildiz I've never heard of, so I'm going to cut them straight away.
All right, apologies. Straight away.
They're gone. Endrick, I would have start, definitely. Scored for Brazil, in amongst the youngest goal scorers for Brazil. So he's straight in, and obviously then Mainoo on the bench. Yeah. Although, in saying that as well, those other two that I don't know about, potentially I could put them on the bench if I knew a bit more about them, because Mainoo off the bench is probably not what I would want, a holding midfielder.
Yeah, I can't go with that. I'm going to go with Mainoo. Yeah, and it's not just my United bias.
I had to take my Arsenal hat off, and you've obviously...
No, it's not that. It's because... Again, you're looking at impact off the bench. I'm not going to bring Mainoo off the bench. Mainoo is going to sit in my midfield and he's going to drive traffic. Endrick is definitely the other one. I mean, Arda Güler is a brilliant young footballer, but I just think Real Madrid don't miss. When they go to Brazil and they cherry pick a young player and they offload money for them. You think about it, like with Vinicius, and they did it in obviously with Camavinga and the like. And this is just recent times, but just the history of them picking players and bringing them over. I mean, they don't miss. So there's something about Endrick.
Six games. Endrick, yeah. You started with Güler, didn't you?
Endrick, yeah. So I'm starting with Mainoo.
Yeah.
Endrick off the bench, Güler and Yildiz are going to be cut.
Yeah.
Rightio, up to the Who Cares report, mate.
You are fake news.
And you're getting named and shamed.
You should have gone to Specsavers, Charlie, because I tell you what, he's not offside.
Well, maybe you should go also then, Jeff, because you couldn't see he's driving home the other night.
Constitution, it's my vote, it's justice, it's law.
Look, I think the number one factor that should be considered here, who cares?
Rightio, we are here. We've got the Who Cares report. We've got no Berta, so he can't even do his Who Cares report. And obviously Potty's disappeared as well again. You see where he went, mate?
Yeah, well, he just said on the way out he had a baby cot listed on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, had a lady coming around to check it out, so he had to go home and meet with her in the car park of Coles.
Oh, wow.
Just to show her the baby's cot. Yeah.
Okay. His children are teenagers, though. Jeez, he's been holding on to that for a while.
Yeah, I think he's waiting for the right price.
Well, he might be waiting a while.
And with Berta not here, you know what changes with the research in this segment?
There is actual research.
Oh, yeah. Well, true. I was going to say no research from Berta. It stays the same.
Very good, mate. So the first one, Pep's new watch. So in the Fed Income Department, there is an article here that Pep Guardiola is spotted wearing a £1.1 million watch whilst managing Man City against Real Madrid. And there's only 50 of him in the world, Cozzy. Can you believe it?
£1.1 million. How many Australian dollars is that?
Let's just double
three,
it.
Two, something yeah, like that.
Yeah. Oh, two and a half. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I mean, Pep can have whatever watch he wants. Unless it's the watch that Jurgen Klopp has at Liverpool, which doesn't actually keep time, and it just keeps the games going until they've scored at the end of time. It doesn't matter.
He's wearing the referee's watch.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, does it?
No, that's right.
Oh, mate, seriously, how they made an article out of this, Pep's watch. I mean, it's a beautiful piece. I think they call them pieces, people who are watch enthusiasts.
Okay.
Yeah, pieced. Piece, sorry, yeah.
Well, he's got to wear nice watches because he can't wear nice jewellery around his neck because he's always sporting the turtleneck.
The turtleneck,
so you wouldn't know. And
But anyway, another one. So Rafael Nadal has one of these watches as well. Must be a Spanish thing. It's made by, is it Richard Mille or is it Mill? Don't know. I've heard of the brand before, anyway.
And yeah, so when you say a $2 million watch, I just think, it's going to be heavy, weighs like it's made out of solid gold or something
You'd
like that.
You want it
but,
to be.
You know.
I mean, Richard Millet, he calls the watch a triumph for engineering and technology.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I doubt it. If it hasn't come from Germani Jewelers, it doesn't fucking matter, does it, really? Oh, righty. And this one's just going to be a swing and a miss, our second Who Cares report, is Liverpool reach an agreement with Ruben Amorim.
Who?
Oh, yeah, well, that's it. I was going to say who fucking cares. But anyway, apparently they're pretty close to filling the shoes of Jurgen Klopp with Ruben Amorim, the sporting manager. Who cares?
Here's one for you. So I was listening to some material recently and they talked about nowadays when signing a manager, clubs will look into the data. They'll look at, you know, the data, the players that are at a club, and do that research. And you know who's came out on top of the list for Liverpool's manager from the data team was Tuchel from Bayern, but they believe, you know, he's not going there. Second was...
I mean, it was amazing. Like, it's like Borussia Dortmund had that same idea a decade ago. Who's going to replace Klopp? Tuchel.
And I've just made a point and forgotten the crux of it. And the second was, it was somebody like you mentioned before, was Kevin Nolan or who's the manager of Fulham? Scott Parker. Someone like that, you know, that level came out number two in the whole world. Yeah. And they just went, well... We're not doing that.
We can't do that.
You know, we're obviously going to use other criteria as well. But yeah, just interestingly that they'll be applying the data to that.
Well, that's the thing with data as a sports scientist. You can get all the data you want in the world. You give it to the coach, but it's up to the coach if they choose to use it or not. You know, so at the end of the day, like yeah, you're going to do those investigations. You can do due diligence.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether it gets used. I mean, Bruno Fernandes's goal on the weekend, I believe it was like a 0.0009 XG when he hit it from halfway.
Yeah.
He still fucking scored. Like, you know, you can have all the data in the world, but, you know, Scott Parker's not going to be managing Liverpool.
Nah.
Yes. Very good. But, I mean, there's going to be, I mean, you know, the data analysts, the you know, the number crunchers and the Excel spreadsheets, I mean, there's going to be stiffies all around on that sort of stuff as we move into the future. But anyway, well, Cozzy, we've done it.
That's it.
We've done it. I mean, we're the last two standing, but it's been an absolute pleasure to get back together and do this again. We'll obviously continue to roll out, but yeah, and thank you to the listeners. Thank you for your patience with us. You know, you're absolutely starved of football content on the Sports Detection platform over the last few weeks, so we're glad we can provide again. Anything to add before we go, mate?
No, just up the Gunners, everyone jump on board, support the Arsenal, the mighty Arsenal. So more points, more titles.
Look, I can't disagree with that, unfortunately. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us again. And, you know, like, subscribe, share us around, get your comments in. You know the drill.
Get better, Craig.
Yeah, get better, Craig. I hope the hemorrhoids are healing.